from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
If you're a regular American and you tuned into that hearing yesterday to watch Cheadle, I watched it from the beginning to the end. I almost never do that.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated by this entire situation.
Yeah.
And you watched it. You watched even a half an hour of it. You kind of came into it with an open mind, or you didn't know much about the situation other than that Donald Trump was just almost killed and it was a miracle he survived. Maybe even 15 minutes of it you watched. And you came away, you had to, wondering, did the Secret Service want Donald Trump killed? It was that bad. She was that belligerent yesterday. Mm-hmm. She has cold, dead fish eyes. She does. And I think the committee looked for answers from her yesterday. They got one. There was one answer in that entire thing. And they had to beat her and beat her and beat her to get it right. But the other thing they were looking for was some sort of basic human emotion or sense that she felt bad that a man is dead.
Yeah.
Some sort of words or emotion or just something. From the bottom of my heart, I have grieved since this happened. I can barely sleep. I have spent every waking moment questioning how this happened and trying to get to the bottom of it. Do you hear the passion in my voice? I am not the Secret Service director, okay? Someone is not dead on my watch. It was dead, cold fish the entire time. There was nothing in that hearing that would let you think that she cared, that she was anything but annoyed she had to be there. I don't think after watching that hearing and the psychopathic way in which she behaved, I do not think she cares at all that Corey Compradore is dead. Yeah. I don't think she cares. I don't think she's given it a moment's attention. And she kept just saying these things. Why haven't you been to the site? And she'd say, oh, she has this fiction, this bizarre fiction. Oh, well, there's an ongoing FBI investigation. I can't go to the site. Were you aware Congress members have been to the site? Been on the roof? Despite this active FBI investigation that's blocking you from going? She doesn't seem to either know, care, or she's lying. It is so bizarre. The whole thing left you with a deep sense of creep. Just creepy. Just creepy. I'm going to demolish her lies yesterday. Got a ton of audio here. But if you spent any time watching it or you want to go watch it or just watch the clips of it that are on X so the American people can see them, you will get a sense of what I am talking about.
That was one of the most bipartisan things I have seen in Washington, D.C. in a long, long time. Now, granted, Democrats, you know, they got their usual Second Amendment things in there and some other things, you know, their other political points. But it's like when you, at the end of the hearing, have a letter from the ranking member and the chair that says, we want your resignation. Wow.
Here's the Democrats yesterday, some of that.
The reason why members in this committee are calling for resignation, and I join in that, or for the president to fire you, is because you're saying there's going to be accountability, but you can't commit that people are going to get fired.
I believe, Director Schittle, that you should resign. I think there are colleagues on both sides of the aisle who believe that, and I hope you'll consider it.
I will be joining the chairman in calling for the resignation of the director.
They don't mean it. Let me tell you why. And this was a great dodge by the Democrats yesterday. One of the things I keep tweeting about is the shock of the fact that Democrats, up until the last 24 hours, have had nothing to say about this, about any of it. They're fine with it. They're cool with it. They're not interested.
They have not called on Biden to fire Cheadle. And all of a sudden, oh, you signed a little letter. That's nice. Okay, cool. The ranking member of the committee signed a little letter demanding what again? Oh, that she resign. Okay, well, there's a way around this. The Democrats did a great job pretending the only way for her to be removed is for her to resign. That was the narrative in the play from yesterday. No, if they actually care, and they don't, if they actually cared, they would write a letter to our missing commander in chief and demand her resignation. They have not. They did not. They could hold a press conference demanding that he fire her. They have not, and they did not. And up until the embarrassment of the Democrat Party that this committee hearing brought, they didn't give a damn. There is nothing on the record asking Biden for her resignation. There isn't even leaks that, hey, you know, behind the scenes, you know how they leak this? Behind the scenes, we went and asked for her resignation. We really want her gone. And I said, this is the weirdest thing because the Secret Service protects Democrats too. You'd think they'd want to be safe, but they don't seem worried about their own safety. That's the weird part. There's no concern of any kind up until this hearing when it became embarrassing for them about the safety of Democrats in the Secret Service protection, which again leads me to conclude they're not worried about Democrat safety in the hands of Secret Service. Ergo, it's not a problem. It's not a problem if the other candidate almost gets assassinated and a man is dead. So again, it took this level of embarrassment, which I'm going to play for you, to get the Democrats to give us a sign of life on this.
Well, GOP hasn't issued a letter to Biden either. I mean, GOP leadership, you would wonder if the Speaker of the House wouldn't say, you know, President Biden, we demand that this woman be fired now.
Yeah, but GOP leadership has spoken.
Oh, they've spoken, yes.
Well, no, not even just leadership. Leadership of committees. Yeah. They have been on television again and again and again and again, screaming and yelling about this, questioning whether they can keep Trump safe. You have not seen that from the Democrats.
No, not one iota. But I mean, to your point, though, we have got one letter from this committee, which is a bipartisan letter from the ranking member and the chairman for the resignation. But, you know, there's nothing from Mike Johnson. I know that there are calls from, you know, I saw a press release from Senator Tim Scott just a little bit ago where he's demanding for the resignation and everything. But, you know, to your point, yes, we've got one letter, but it's like, you know, why haven't the Republicans, like the Speaker of the House, you know, sent a letter saying, you know, as Speaker of the House, we demand that this woman be fired. Just, I don't know.
Well, this yesterday was the first time I've heard anything from Democrats about, wow, this was a bad security job. And again, I think it's only because this hearing deeply embarrassed
them. It's probably very much window dressing, but it's just, to me, it was interesting that they actually played along to this level. They went a little further than I thought than they had to or were going to. But once again, I agree with you. I think that's you're spot on about this. This is window dressing. This and these things are always for show. But it was interesting that they were willing to play along to that degree because generally they won't play, period. At all, under any circumstances. But on this one, I think they know that they've got to show they're at least leaning toward that direction.
Barry is watching on Facebook. He writes, it looked like the Democrats were briefed before. They all asked the same question.
Well,
they kept asking, does citizens owning guns make your job harder or easier? Yeah, they tried to deflect.
That's to be expected. That's all of that, you knew was coming. You knew it was coming. It was always going to be, you know, assault rifle ban this and, you know, multi-capacity, magazines and all this other, you know, stuff that they usually talk that really has nothing to do with anything. You knew that that was going to be brought up. But at least they did at least say the same thing that Republicans were saying about the situation, which was kind of unusual.
And I think it was only because they were forced
to
finally.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have not been doing the rounds talking about this at all. There has been absolute stone cold silence from the Democrats until now when they are forced to acknowledge this. Bottom line, they were totally fine until they were embarrassed by this hearing with her staying in power, with the level of protection Trump got, and quite frankly, with Trump being assassinated on her watch. They were fine with all of that. They were. And that's what their stone cold silence says to me. I mean, it's very obvious what it says. Overnight, coming up on the show, stay tuned for this. Do you know how One of the things we sell downstairs, Lee, I was actually in a sales presentation the other day with a potential client. One of the cool things we sell, and I'm amazed by this technology, we can draw like a line around your business, right? And we can see every cell phone that went into your business and came out. We know who they are. We know where they live. And you can buy that information from us. And we can, and we did, sitting in that meeting the other day, say to the client, hey, you know what? Your foot traffic here in Greenville is down 20% over last year in terms of number of cell phones came through your door. Do you want to know who they are and where they live? Well, you know what, Lee? You can buy that information for somebody's house. Did you know that?
Not surprisingly, no.
And you know whose house an investigative group bought that information for from about...
I don't know. Somebody in the news recently?
Thomas Crooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The assassin.
Yeah.
And wait till you hear who was coming and going from his house.
And where else they'd been.
And where else they've been. And then the fact that the Secret Service director doesn't want to answer questions, and neither does the director of the Department of Homeland Security want to answer questions, begins to make a lot of sense, because that guy is over the what? FBI. I'm going to lay it all out coming up. And folks, again, Kimberly Cheadle, we're going to pick on her today, but she's a diversion.
Yeah.
The person who needs to sit in that chair is Alejandro Mayorkas.
Amen.
And I'm going to explain why.
Yeah.
All of that in a way nobody else will. So coming up next, stay tuned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob writes on my Rumble stream of this show at Tara Servatius on Rumble. More harsh questions from Republicans. No real results. Nothing will be done. She's still getting paid, still employed, still insured, still a threat. It's all a show. I think almost all of them wish the assassination attempt would have been successful so that they could go back to business as usual. You know what? You're not to be blamed for getting that impression from the hearing. Let's tear this apart. Here's a montage of questions Kimberly Cheadle won't answer.
Did they confront him? Did they go up to him? Did they talk to him?
I do not have those details at this time.
The Secret Service used any drones for surveillance that day?
So again, I'm not going to get into specifics of that day.
Can you answer why the Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advanced process and the decisions that were made.
Did they confront him? Did they go up to him? Did they talk to him?
I do not have those details at this time.
How many explosive devices were found on or near the site?
Again, I would have to defer you to the FBI.
Was he just a lone gunman?
I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation for motive.
When was the last sweep of that roof done prior to the rally?
I do not have that information.
And then this jaw-dropping exchange. Folks, to this point, I haven't even mentioned the second shooter conspiracy, because I don't feel like anybody's proven it. And I'm very, very careful about what I bring you. But this yesterday, this is the first time I'm mentioning it. Because of what she said. Representative Andy Biggs asks her about the second shooter. All she's got to say is there was no second shooter. These are not hard things.
It is unfathomable that a 20-year-old on the radar of Secret Service and local law enforcement before President Trump went on stage was able to climb onto the roof of a building with a rifle and fire off multiple rounds before he was neutralized. Was Mr. Crooks acting alone?
Again, I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation.
Was he just a lone gunman?
I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation for motive.
Now, it'd be one thing if she didn't know the answer to that question, but she does. It would be one thing if she's not allowed to tell us. If she's not allowed, man, she's just not allowed to tell us because the FBI is still investigating. But that's not the case, y'all. As former assistant director of the FBI, Chris Schwecker pointed out. She can tell us the answers to these questions. She doesn't need to wait.
I mean, the shooter's dead. And I've heard nothing about a conspiracy other than, you know, out there on the fringes. This was a 20-year-old that acted alone, young kid. So there's no reason to protect this information or protect a prosecution. I'm looking for authority, something that says, hey, we have to withhold this information from you. And I don't see any, and she certainly didn't cite any. So, and I'm sure there are lawyers at Homeland Security and in the administration that could have given it to her, but they didn't. So I think they're throwing her to the wolves, and they're just letting her, you know, sort of hang out there on her own. She certainly hung herself yesterday.
So in other words, normally they'll give you some excuse. Well, she can't answer the questions, ongoing investigation, or under this statute, we have to protect this information. They didn't give her any of that. So she goes through a lot of the hearing lying. Well, you know, I'm going to have to refer you to the FBI. Chris Schwecker says, no, that doesn't cut it.
She shouldn't need an FBI investigation to tell her about her own security scheme. You know, and I think she's being thrown to the wolves by Homeland Security because they provided her no basis to withhold the information. I'd like to hear about a statute or something that prohibits her from passing that information to Congress. She was armed with nothing.
Armed with nothing. Coming up on the show, you're going to hear her admit two shocking things. And that she knows all the answers to all of the questions asked yesterday. She just doesn't choose to give them. Unbelievable. Folks, and you got to hear the next segment. It's going to be incredible. But here's the thing, okay? This cold, dead, fish eyes woman is not who we need to ask these questions of. We need to ask them of Mayorkas. Why? Two reasons, okay? Remember what Senator Charles Grassley's investigation has shown us. The Secret Service provided only three agency personnel for what's called post-standing at Trump's rally, compared to the 12 post-standers they sent to First Lady Jill Biden's rally. There are over 7,000 agents of the Secret Service. So even though Trump's team had worked 7 days straight and many of them were off, you could just rotate other Secret Service agents in. But remember, they didn't. What did they do? Instead, they sent inexperienced desk-sitting Department of Homeland Security officers. That's weird. Think about it. Over 7,000 other uniformed Secret Service agents. And she doesn't send them as backup. She sends who? People who answer to Alejandro Mayorkas of the Department of Homeland Security. That right there is the thread you pull. You know the guy who's unsecured and insecure at the border? You know the guy who knows that his Marxist dream of a truly open border, a border over which cartel kingpins and murderers, child pedophiles about to go on trial in their own countries who are running, who are out on bond, across which anyone on earth can pass. Across which even the Venezuelan government says, yeah, we're emptying out our prisons to the worst people and we're sending them your way. His dream is about to be demolished by Donald Trump. And that is the guy whose agents were sent instead of Secret Service agents to protect Trump. Inexperienced agents. And then the security setting for the whole thing. You know, you put a setting on your wash machine. You put a setting on your dryer, light dry. The security setting was dialed down to not a very dangerous event. And we saw that. Mayorkas is who needs to sit down. He is refusing to do it. And for some reason, I don't know what they promised this crazy woman. For some reason, she is allowing this. Remember what Senator Josh Hawley said. That whistleblowers have told him, this is his report, saying the Biden Department of Homeland Security assigned unprepared and inexperienced personnel to Trump who weren't even Secret Service. But what did they do? They answered to Mayorkas, not this woman. Whistleblowers have direct knowledge of the event who approached my office say the July 13 rally was considered to be a loose security event. For example, detection canines were not used to monitor entry and detect threats in the usual manner. They did not sweep the sites. They didn't find a gun. How convenient. Individuals
without proper designations were able to gain access to the backstage areas. Department personnel, talking about Department of Homeland Security, did not appropriate police and security buffer around the podium, and they were not stationed at regular intervals around the event's security perimeter. Folks, can you see what's going on here? They told President Trump's regular, dependable Secret Service team, why don't y'all just take a little break? You've been working 7 days. You stay home. We're going to bring in not Secret Service agents. We're going to bring in people who answer to Alejandro Mayorkas, who have no experience and can't even holster a gun. And then we're going to make sure that whoever wants can go backstage, violate the perimeter. We're not going to sweep for guns. We're not going to use a drone. We're not going to do anything. We're going to insecure and unsecure the Trump rally just like we insecured and unsecured the border in the face of a known threat from Iranian assassins. You tell me, is that attempted murder? Okay, so Cheadle, head of the Secret Service, has asked over and over and over again for even the most basic details about what happened. And she pretends she can't give them to the committee because ongoing FBI investigation. But the former assistant director of the FBI says, nope, that's not a thing. She just made that up. There's been no claims of an ongoing investigation, no claims of need to protect information, nothing. And besides, he says the killer's dead. So why won't she answer the simplest of questions? Here's Representative Lisa McClain. This just shows you how jaw-dropping this is, okay? This woman's position is, I'm cool, I shouldn't be fired, I should get to keep protecting Donald Trump if he, you know, almost dies again, oh well. But no, I shouldn't be expected to answer questions. Why? Because talk to the FBI. Oh, okay, well, who told you that? Who told you that we have to talk to the FBI to get answers? Listen to this, folks. If you have a security lapse like this, okay, and you're genuinely sorry, you're a normal human being who is just racked with guilt because a man is dead, you do not behave this way. You are not this deceptive. You want to come to testify to Congress. You don't have to be subpoenaed after your boss, Alejandro Mayorkas, blocks you from testifying, as if there's some sort of state secret here. Here's Representative Lisa McClain grilling Kimberly Cheadle, head of the Department of Secret Service. Wait till you hear this.
You keep referring to the FBI. When asked how many shell casings were on the roof, you referred to the FBI. When asked if there were explosives in the car, you referred to the FBI. When asked if Crooks was acting alone, you referred to the FBI. See a common theme here? I can go on and on. My question is, who at the FBI should I speak with? Wait for it. Wait for it.
The FBI is responsible for the criminal.
Is there a name?
I'm not certain.
I'm not certain. All right, here we go. I'm not certain. I don't know. Let me ask a different question. Have you been in communication with the FBI?
Yes, I have.
With whom?
I speak with the director and the deputy director.
Okay. And what have they shared with you about this investigation? So I'll give you an opportunity to answer again. Did they share with you how many shell casings were on the roof?
They have shared with me the...
Did they share with you how many shell casings were on the roof?
Yes.
Okay, how many were there?
I would refer to the FBI for
how many were there
and their information that they need to share in their investigation.
So they've shared the information with you. You just don't want to share the information with us, correct?
We have concurrent investigations that are going on.
So they have shared this information with you. You know the answer to the question. You just refuse to answer the question from the member of Congress who has subpoenaed you to be here. Is there a different answer to that question?
I was always willing to come here and testify before this oversight hearing.
Beautiful. Then let's do that. Let's for once have your actions match your words. So you've been in communication with the FBI. You know the answers and you refuse to tell us the answers. So I will ask you again. You know how many shell casings were on that roof. What is the answer to that question?
I think it's pertinent.
What is the answer to that question?
I think it's pertinent to talk to you about the information that the Secret Service has and that the Secret Service knows related.
I'm asking you an answer to the question. If you're supposed to be in charge, if the buck stops with you, how come you can't share the answers? What are you covering up? What are you hiding, my friend?
I'm not covering anything up.
Then why can't you answer a simple question?
I would leave it to the criminal investigation to answer questions related to that.
When you talk to the FBI and you ask them how many explosives, well, let me ask you, did you ask them how many explosives were on the roof? Did they answer that question, or in the car, excuse me? Did they answer that question for you?
Yes.
Yes. So you know the answer to that question that my colleagues have asked you. But again, you refuse to give us the answers. You're playing this wasn't me. Well, I submit to you, if you can't, and it's not a can't, it's a won't. It's not a can't. It's not a I don't know. It's a I choose not to answer the question. Well, let me tell you, Ms. Cheadle, if you're going to lead, you need to lead. If you want to be in charge, then answer the question or step aside and have someone with the courage and the guts to answer to the American people the questions that they deserve answers to.
Again, this is Chris Swecker, former assistant director of the FBI, saying she doesn't need to defer to the FBI, and she damn well knows it.
I mean, the shooter's dead. And I've heard nothing about a conspiracy other than, you know, out there on the fringes. This was a 20-year-old that acted alone, young kid. So there's no reason to protect this information or protect a prosecution. I'm looking for authority, something that says, hey, we have to withhold this information from you. And I don't see any, and she certainly didn't cite any. So, and I'm sure there are lawyers at Homeland Security and in the administration that could have given it to her, but they didn't. So I think they're throwing her to the wolves, and they're just letting her, you know, sort of hang out there on her own. She certainly hung herself yesterday.
So she admits she knows all these answers, she's just not going to tell them. And she keeps saying FBI, FBI, FBI. As if, you know, there's some kind of ongoing investigation that, you know, by law or something we need to protect. There's nothing. Why cover this up? If this is just incompetence or a mistake, why? Because there's something bigger here. There's something bigger here that if she answered those questions, we'd be on to. That's why. And they don't want you to know what it is. They also don't want you to know who visited Thomas Crook's home before he attempted to assassinate Donald Trump. Oh boy, you're going to want to hear this one coming up next. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question. Who visited Thomas Crook's home before he attempted to assassinate Trump? Well, the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project wanted an answer to that. And there's technology now. You can buy this. We buy it for businesses. We do this here at Odyssey. We will sell this to businesses. We'll do the analysis for you. We can tell you everybody who visited your home, your business, where they go. We can tell you what your foot traffic is. We can isolate specific cell phones. You could buy that. So the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project did. And they wanted to answer the question, who visited Thomas Crook's home and work before he attempted to assassinate President Trump? And where did they go? There's something called ad IDs. You can actually get that information. They did. Mobile data and analysis, they report, reveals somebody who regularly visited Crook's Pennsylvania home also visited a building in D.C. right, like literally feet away from the FBI office. It's right near Gallery Place. Interesting. Very, very interesting. They write on Twitter, we found the assassin's connections through our in-depth analysis of mobile and data to track movements of Crooks and his associates. To do this, we track devices that regularly visited both Crook's home and his place of work and followed them just to see where they would go. Someone who regularly visited Crook's home and work also visited a building in Washington, D.C., located in Gallery Place, just feet from the FBI office. This occurred on June 26, 2023. Another device linked to Crook's visited
Plymouth, Massachusetts. They also found a third device linked to Crook's work that was not his device that traveled to Butler, PA on July 4th and July 8th. This device stopped all activity on July 12th. And on August 30th, a fourth device, 2023, a fourth device linked to Crook's visited Allegheny Arms. So they map all of this out. And then they put up this, again, the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. They put up this final sort of like very cryptic tweet. Here's what it says. For the protection of whistleblowers in our investigation, we will not be sharing further information with the Congressional Task Force due to the connective tissue between that entity and the FBI, the Secret Service, and other entities. So we're to the point where the suspicion of the FBI is so high, Heritage Foundation won't even share the results of their investigation. Because they fear them. And they should. They should fear them. They should fear people in the Secret Service. They are not our friends. You know what's clear from this whole hour broadcast? Donald Trump's on his own. Donald Trump is not only on his own, and from what I understand, he has hired Eric Prince, who's kind of legendary in the security business, to provide teams to protect him. Because Donald Trump cannot trust the Secret Service. Folks, I'd go so far if I was Trump. I'd say the Secret Service, you want to show up?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Cheadle, head of the Secret Service, has asked over and over and over again for even the most basic details about what happened. And she pretends she can't give them to the committee because ongoing FBI investigation. But the former assistant director of the FBI says, nope, that's not a thing. She just made that up. There's been no claims of an ongoing investigation, no claims of need to protect information, nothing. And besides, he says the killer's dead. So why won't she answer the simplest of questions? Here's Representative Lisa McClain. This just shows you how jaw-dropping this is, okay? This woman's position is, I'm cool, I shouldn't be fired, I should get to keep protecting Donald Trump if he, you know, almost dies again, oh well. But no, I shouldn't be expected to answer questions. Why? Because talk to the FBI. Oh, okay, well, who told you that? Who told you that we have to talk to the FBI to get answers? Listen to this, folks. If you have a security lapse like this, okay, and you're genuinely sorry, you're a normal human being who is just racked with guilt because a man is dead, you do not behave this way. You are not this deceptive. You want to come to testify to Congress. You don't have to be subpoenaed after your boss, Alejandro Mayorkas, blocks you from testifying. As if there's some sort of state secret here. Here's Representative Lisa McClain grilling Kimberly Cheadle, head of the Department of Secret Service. Wait till you hear this.
You keep referring to the FBI. When asked how many shell casings were on the roof, you referred to the FBI. When asked if there were explosives in the car, you referred to the FBI. When asked if Crooks was acting alone, you referred to the FBI. See a common theme here? I can go on and on. My question is, who at the FBI should I speak with? Wait for it. Wait for it.
The FBI is responsible for the criminal.
Is there a name?
I'm not certain.
Who at the all right, here FBI we go. I'm not certain. I don't know. Let me ask a different question. Have you been in communication with the FBI?
Yes, I have.
With whom?
I speak with the director and the deputy director.
Okay. And what have they shared with you about this investigation? So I'll give you an opportunity to answer again. Did they share with you how many shell casings were on the roof?
They have shared with me the...
Did they share with you how many shell casings were on the roof?
Yes.
Okay, how many were there?
I would refer to the FBI for
how many were there
and their information that they need to share in their investigation.
So they've shared the information with you. You just don't want to share the information with us, correct?
We have concurrent investigations that are going on.
So they have shared this information with you. You know the answer to the question. You just refuse to answer the question from the member of Congress who has subpoenaed you to be here. Is there a different answer to that question?
I was always willing to come here and testify before this oversight hearing.
Beautiful. Then let's do that. Let's for once have your actions match your words. So you've been in communication with the FBI. You know the answers, and you refuse to tell us the answers. So I will ask you again. You know how many shell casings were on that roof. What is the answer to that question?
I think it's pertinent.
What is the answer to that question?
I think it's pertinent to talk to you about the information that the Secret Service has and that the Secret Service knows related to
the event. I'm asking you an answer to the question. If you're supposed to be in charge, if the buck stops with you, how come you can't share the answers? What are you covering up? What are you hiding, my friend?
I'm not covering anything up.
Then why can't you answer a simple question?
I would leave it to the criminal investigation to answer questions related to that.
When you talk to the FBI and you ask them how many explosives, well, let me ask you, did you ask them how many explosives were on the roof? Did they answer that question, or in the car, excuse me? Did they answer that question for you?
Yes.
Yes. So you know the answer to that question that my colleagues have asked you, but again, you refuse to give us the answers. You're playing this wasn't me. Well, I submit to you, if you can't, and it's not a can't, it's a won't. It's not a can't. It's not a I don't know. It's a I choose not to answer the question. Well, let me tell you, Ms. Cheadle, if you're going to lead, you need to lead. If you want to be in charge, then answer the question or step aside and have someone with the courage and the guts to answer to the American people the questions that they deserve answers to.
Again, this is Chris Swecker, former assistant director of the FBI, saying she doesn't need to defer to the FBI, and she damn well knows it.
I mean, the shooter's dead, and I've heard nothing about a conspiracy other than, you know, out there on the fringes. This was a 20-year-old that acted alone, young kid. So there's no reason to protect this information or protect a prosecution. I'm looking for authority, something that says, hey, we have to withhold this information from you. And I don't see any, and she certainly didn't cite any. So, and I'm sure there are lawyers at Homeland Security and in the administration that could have given it to her, but they didn't. So I think they're throwing her to the wolves, and they're just letting her, you know, sort of hang out there on her own. She certainly hung herself yesterday.
So she admits she knows all these answers, she's just not going to tell them. And she keeps saying FBI, FBI, FBI. As if, you know, there's some kind of ongoing investigation that, you know, by law or something we need to protect. There's nothing. Why cover this up? If this is just incompetence or a mistake, why? Because there's something bigger here. There's something bigger here that if she answered those questions, we'd be on to. That's why. And they don't want you to know what it is. They also don't want you to know who visited Thomas Crook's home before he attempted to assassinate Donald Trump. Oh boy, you're gonna wanna hear this one coming up next. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question. Who visited Thomas Crook's home before he attempted to assassinate Trump. Well, the Heritage Foundation's oversight project wanted an answer to that. And there's technology now. You can buy this. We buy it for businesses. We do this here at Odyssey. We will sell this to businesses. We'll do the analysis for you. We can tell you everybody who visited your home, where they, I mean, your business, where they go. We can tell you what your foot traffic is. We can isolate specific cell phones. You could buy that. So the Heritage Foundation's oversight project did. And they wanted to answer the question, who visited Thomas Crook's home and work before he attempted to assassinate President Trump? And where did they go? There's something called ad IDs. You can actually get that information. They did. Mobile data and analysis, they report, reveals somebody who regularly visited Crook's Pennsylvania home also visited a building in D.C. right, like literally feet away from the FBI office. It's right near Gallery Place. Interesting. Very, very interesting. They write on Twitter, we found the assassin's connections through our in-depth analysis of mobile and data to track movements of Crooks and his associates. To do this, we track devices that regularly visited both Crook's home and his place of work and followed them just to see where they would go. Someone who regularly visited Crook's home and work also visited a building in Washington, D.C., located in Gallery Place, just feet from the FBI office. This occurred on June 26, 2023. Another device linked to Crooks visited Plymouth, Massachusetts. They also found a third device linked to Crook's work that was not his device that traveled to Butler, PA on July 4th and July 8th. This device stopped all activity on July 12th. And on August 30th, a fourth device, 2023, a fourth device linked to Crook's visited Allegheny Arms. So they map all of this out. And then they put up this, again, the Heritage Foundation's oversight project. They put up this final sort of like very cryptic tweet. Here's what it says. For the protection of whistleblowers in our investigation, we will not be sharing further information with the Congressional Task Force due to the connective tissue between that entity and the FBI, the Secret Service, and other entities. So we're to the point where the suspicion of the FBI is so high, Heritage Foundation won't even share the results of their investigation. Because they fear them. And they should. They should fear them. They should fear people in the Secret Service. They are not our friends. You know what's clear from this whole hour broadcast? Donald Trump's on his own. Donald Trump is not only on his own, and from what I understand, he has hired Eric Prince, who's kind of legendary in the security business, to provide teams to protect him. Because Donald Trump cannot trust the Secret Service. Folks, I'd go so far if I was Trump. I'd say to the Secret Service, you want to show up? Cool. We're going to put you in this parking lot over here and you stay away from us. We don't want you interacting with our teams because you don't know if there's a rat. You cannot trust these people. And I hate to say that because I'm sure there's really good people. I know there is. In fact, some of them risk their lives to save Trump. But you can't trust anybody they send. Folks, instead of sending Secret Service agents, they told the ones Trump knew and trusted to stay home. And then, even though there's over 7,000 Secret Service agents, they didn't send a one of them. They sent Department of Homeland Security employees with little to no experience who worked desk jobs, but answered to Alejandro Mayorkas. And I honestly was very disappointed yesterday that nobody asked about that. Nobody pulled that thread. Why would you send no Secret Service? By the way, her excuse yesterday, the head of the Secret Service, we don't have enough people. You have a $3.1 billion budget and over 7,000 agents. And she said yesterday, well, 70% of them, they go off and investigate crimes because I guess that's more interesting. 30% of them are dedicated to protection. 30% of 7,000 agents are dedicated to protection. You couldn't send anymore. No, it had to be people who answered Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, who were these people? Let's see their backgrounds. She wouldn't say. Wait, what? She wouldn't say the names or the titles of anybody who worked that event. So then Congress asked her, okay, if we go into classified here and will you give it to us then? We need the names, we need the titles. They want to go Google these people. They want to figure out who the heck they are. She wouldn't do it. Why is that a secret? Because it goes right back to Alejandro Mayorkas, the person we really need to hear from. By the way, he's refusing to testify. He's the head of the Department of Homeland in on security, which is over the Secret Service. Folks, I've been pointing this out to you. Who is the guy who keeps, oopsie, letting all of these ISIS terrorists in? Who is the guy who allowed an ISIS smuggling network to operate for the first time on our border that moved over 400 people in, and I still can't find 150 of them? We don't even know if they're terrorists. That'd be Alejandro Mayorkas. So he's letting ISIS march the conga line right over the border while insecuring and unsecuring the Trump rally. Weird, right? Weird. And doing all this when we know there's an active Iranian assassination plot against Trump? It's almost as if he is dangling the former president before the assassins as bait, ringing the dinner bell and going, come and get him. I wouldn't let these people anywhere near me. I would have my own private security just to survive this campaign. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question. Who visited Thomas Crook's home before he attempted to assassinate Trump? Well, the Heritage Foundation's oversight project wanted an answer to that. And there's technology now. You can buy this. We buy it for businesses. We do this here at Odyssey. We will sell this to businesses. We'll do the analysis for you. We can tell you everybody who visited your home, your business, where they go. We can tell you what your foot traffic is. We can isolate specific cell phones. You could buy that. So the Heritage Foundation's oversight project did. And they wanted to answer the question, who visited Thomas Crook's home and work before he attempted to assassinate President Trump? And where did they go? There's something called ad IDs. You can actually get that information. They did. Mobile data and analysis, they report, reveals somebody who regularly visited Crook's Pennsylvania home also visited a building in D.C. right, like literally feet away from the FBI office. It's right near Gallery Place. Interesting. Very, very interesting. They write on Twitter, we found the assassin's connections through our in-depth analysis of mobile and data to track movements of Crooks and his associates. To do this, we tracked devices that regularly visited both Crook's home and his place of work and followed them just to see where they would go. Someone who regularly visited Crook's home and work also visited a building in Washington, D.C., located in Gallery Place, just feet from the FBI office. This occurred on June 26, 2023. Another device linked to Crooks visited Plymouth, Massachusetts. They also found a third device linked to Crook's work that was not his device that traveled to Butler, PA on July 4th and July 8th. This device stopped all activity on July 12th. And on August 30th, a fourth device linked to Crook's visited Allegheny Arms. So they map all of this out. And then they put up this, again, the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. They put up this final sort of like very cryptic tweet. Here's what it says. For the protection of whistleblowers in our investigation, we will not be sharing further information with the Congressional Task Force due to the connective tissue between that entity and the FBI, the Secret Service, and other entities. So we're to the point where the suspicion of the FBI is so high, Heritage Foundation won't even share the results of their investigation. Because they fear them. And they should. They should fear them. They should fear people in the Secret Service. They are not our friends. You know what's clear from this whole hour broadcast? Donald Trump's on his own. Donald Trump is not only on his own, and from what I understand, he has hired Eric Prince, who's kind of legendary in the security business, to provide teams to protect him. Because Donald Trump cannot trust the Secret Service. Folks, I'd go so far if I was Trump.
I'd say the Secret Service, you want to show up? Cool. We're going to put you in this parking lot over here and you stay away from us. We don't want you interacting with our teams because you don't know if there's a rat. You cannot trust these people. And I hate to say that because I'm sure there's really good people. I know there is. In fact, some of them risk their lives to save Trump. But you can't trust anybody they send. Folks, instead of sending Secret Service agents, they told the ones Trump knew and trusted to stay home. And then, even though there's over 7,000 Secret Service agents, they didn't send a one of them. They sent Department of Homeland Security employees with little to no experience who worked desk jobs, but answered to Alejandro Mayorkas. And I honestly was very disappointed yesterday that nobody asked about that. Nobody pulled that thread. Why would you send no Secret Service? By the way, her excuse yesterday, the head of the Secret Service, we don't have enough people. You have a $3.1 billion budget and over 7,000 agents. And she said yesterday, well, 70% of them, they go off and investigate crimes because I guess that's more interesting. 30% of them are dedicated to protection. 30% of 7,000 agents are dedicated to protection. You couldn't send anymore. No, it had to be people who answered Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, who were these people? Let's see their backgrounds. She wouldn't say. Wait, what? She wouldn't say the names or the titles of anybody who worked that event. So then Congress asked her, okay, if we go in a classified here, will you give it to us then? We need the names, we need the titles. They want to go Google these people. They'll figure out who the heck they are. She wouldn't do it. Why is that a secret? Because it goes right back to Alejandro Mayorkas, the person we really need to hear from. By the way, he's refusing to testify. He's the head of the Department of Homeland in Unsecurity, which is over the Secret Service. Folks, I've been pointing this out to you. Who is the guy who keeps, oopsie, letting all of these ISIS terrorists in? Who is the guy who allowed an ISIS smuggling network to operate for the first time on our border that moved over 400 people in, and I still can't find 150 of them? We don't even know if they're terrorists. That'd be Alejandro Mayorkas. So he's letting ISIS march the conga line right over the border while insecuring and unsecuring the Trump rally. Weird, right? Weird. And doing all this when we know there's an active Iranian assassination plot against Trump? It's almost as if he is dangling the former president before the assassins is bait, ringing the dinner bell and going, come and get him. I wouldn't let these people anywhere near me. I would have my own private security just to survive this campaign.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.